So the obvious question is, we just lived in this whole shiur about how important it is to pay back a loan that you borrow, who just can't run away with the money. So like, we're all the good guys, so like, why do we need to hear this for the last hour, right? So
Can a business obligation that somebody was a partner or somebody was earning money be turned into our war?
Yeah, we're going to get to it. So the question is, so why'd we go through the whole thing? It's even a piasechel. Obviously, you know, you borrow money from someone, you just can't run away with it forever. You have to pay it back. So why do we why we just spend the morning talking about it? So there are really two answers. The first answer is, you know, now that, you know, Mechon Chash Mishved here is a high-tech share, you get the email of the recording afterwards, you could download it and all the different things. So obviously everyone's going to want to help their friend do a mitzvah. It's a pias b'choy mitzvah. It's paying back a loan is a mitzvah in and of itself. So if someone owes you money, of course you want them to be mekayim that mitzvah sooner than later. So I'm sure a lot of people will be sending their friends copy of the Ma'amar Kremis and the shiur in case they're a little sluggish in getting paid back. That's one reason. The second reason is, you know, Rahman al-Slan, when a person sees someone or hears a story of someone doing something wrong, where the person has the ability to repay and al pi din he's chayav to pay, but he's using the money for other purposes, he has enough koyach, or there's lack of documentation to force him to do otherwise. So you know, it looks pretty good. You know, it's much easier to borrow $1 million and not pay it back than to earn $1 million most of the time. So, we need to get divrei chizuk ourselves to just, you know, put our head in the right place and remember exactly, you know, what's right, what's wrong. And as the Chofetz Chaim brought down, you don't come out ahead by doing something wrong. The Eibishter runs the world. He knows how to make the cheshbonos out even. So it's always good to get that divrei chizuk. So either way, whether you owed money, whether you saw someone that didn't pay money, it's an important thing. Okay, so we said this morning that once a loan is due, the person who the borrower is not allowed to withhold the money if he has the ability to repay it, and if he looks for ways to weasel out of paying, and so that the other side will want to make a pshara because they want to limit their losses. So even if that's all done, it's the person's not yotzei d'shamayim, he still owes the money. So we'll give some common examples. Reuven bought $20,000 of schari from Shimon, and it's due in 30 days, and 30 days passed, so Shimon calls up, no Reuven, I didn't see the check come in the mail yet, and Reuven falsely says, what, it's out there on the street, business is really, really schwach, I don't know what's going to be, you know, call me another 2 weeks and we'll, I'll see how things are. So already, that was a failure number one. The deal was, it's due in 30 days, he made the deal. He had the money to pay it. He just wants to schlep the guy out. Why should he pay for a bank loan or a credit card loan for $20,000 for the extra time if, you know, he could get his seller to eat that? So now, 2 weeks later, Shimon calls up Reuven and says, no, okay, it's 2 weeks. What's doing? And Reuven again says, things are getting worse. I don't know what's going to be with this market. So Shimon starts to get jittery, and he figures, you know what, let me limit my losses. If I don't suck the money out now, who knows what's going to be left. Comes another 2-3 weeks, I heard this guy's buying from other people too, who knows what's going to be left. So on his own volition, Shimon says, you know what, Reuven, I know it's tough, and I want to work with you. I have also a cash flow problem, I'm also stuck for cash, so you know what, we'll work a deal. Instead of paying the $20,000 that you owe me, if you give me $15,000 by Friday, we call it a deal, and it's it's a win-win for everybody, and you know, we'll all move on, right? Now Shimon came up with the idea himself, the lender, in effect, because he sold merchandise, but now he became a lender, right? So the lender came up with the idea himself. Shimon says, okay, I'll see what I can do. You know, I appreciate for working with me. Maybe Rubin's probably going to say, you know what? How about 12.5? Whatever it is. And bottom line, lo and behold, comes Friday, he comes up with the $15,000 or whatever they agreed on, and the money's paid. So the answer is that Reuven still owes the extra $5,000 to to Shimon, even though Shimon, the lender, doesn't even realize it, because he thought that Reuven was saying emes all the time. But really, it was all, the mechila was a mechila betos. It was all, the mechila was based on false pretenses, so therefore the money is still owed. However, let's say it was all true. Let's say the schar was sold, and indeed, Reuven didn't have the money, comes the first 30 days, and his description of the business environment that he has was accurate, and the 2 weeks passed again, the same thing. He says, you know, Shimon, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, I sold this, you know, I bought this car from you on credit, I sold it to others on credit, and I'm having a collections problem also. My receivables aren't coming in, and Shimon gets jittery and is Michael. That's fair and square. That was under all correct pretenses. They did it properly. And documented it properly, so $15,000, paid the deal, everything's great. And now next week, Reuven, who was the borrower, wins the lottery. And is just sitting in the cash where he got a big contract and he's making $1 million. So Shimon, the original seller, goes to Reuven, hey Reuven, I was mighty for your $5,000 last week. I'm schwitzing here, and you just ran into some big bucks. Can you make it up here? So the answer is, again, you can give them a ton to whoever you want, but the mechila was done fair and square. Once it's done, that means the $5,000 debt was canceled and out, and so therefore, a pidin. Maybe even more than Apidin, there's no chiyuv for the person who was Michael in this case. No chiyuv for Reuven to pay up the extra $5,000 since the mechila was done fair and square. If he wants to give him $5,000, he can. But there's no chiyuv because the mechila was done. It was fair and square. That was the deal. Sometimes, person. Buy schayra or whatever, or borrows money, and he was supposed to pay, and whatever it is, 30 days, 60 days, and he had good intentions to pay, and he didn't have the ability to pay, and he wasn't able to pay till a month, 2 months, 3 months late, and he feels bad. He's an elocha guy, he feels bad. I told the guy he's going to have his money in 60 days, and I didn't pay him for 180 because I was stuck. So, person might feel, instead of giving him back the $10,000 I owe him, I'm giving back $10,500. I want to show some goodwill and let him know that I understand that it was hard for him and I feel bad about it. So there's not the Shion Ribbis, but almost all the time there would be an Issa Ribbis in that. You can't give back more than what you borrowed. That's called Ribbis in general, so you can't show your favor and Akas HaTov in that way. Bezus Hashem, later in the year, we'll get to Shishim on Ribbis, but that's just something to keep in mind because it's very common when someone delays a loan payment and feels bad about it.
What's the lenders do? There's no reciprocity commission.
Oh, okay, very good. We're going to get to that at the end of the shiur. Very good. Okay. Buying an aliyah is something that you normally don't do. It's a problem. Anything that you're doing more that's specifically tied or realized that's due to that loan would be a problem. Again, that's not a ribbishir, but if let's say you give the guy shalach manis every year, and now you give him a similar shalach manis this year, doesn't show that it's because of the loan. But if anything that is nicker that has to do with the loan, that's when we raise an issue. Yeah.
The halva that's converted into an iska is governed by regular dine halva.
In terms of,
let's say the guy takes ribbis iska, and there's a heter so that's drafted up.
Right.
In terms of later Rosh Hashanah, Yishalim, and all those types of things.
Well, most iskas are half loans, half investments, so you would still have the loan aspect.
That half that's still that remains an iska, not a halva, so it's an easy way to weasel out, no? I'll pay a halva.
Well, no, because the terms of the iska too. But Rebbe Zeshem, when we get to the ribbis at the iska. Once we'll get to that. Okay, just the other week we mentioned that you're not allowed to borrow from another yid if you are borrowing in a way that you have no way to repay the loan. So we said, for example, if you just want to clarify it, it doesn't mean that you have to be able to repay the loan from the money that you're borrowing and that you're, what you're doing with it. For example, you're making a you need whatever, I don't know, $10,000. You want to make, you're making a bar mitzvah. You want to borrow $10,000, and the money that you spend on that bar mitzvah, zoom, you know, that's it. It's gone. It's not going to help to repay the loan. So even though you can borrow the money for that purpose, as long as you have other assets or you have an income stream or some other way that you're going to be able to pay back the loan in the time that you agreed upon. But if it's a situation where the issur is it's a situation that you don't have any assets or income stream to pay the loan. So then you can't borrow the money unless you tell the lender what the purpose of the loan is, so he'll know that it's going to imminently go in default. Yeah.
What if you lend it to someone who's, let's say, out of a job?
Right.
But he's working on things, and hopefully one day he'll.
Right. Right. So then the lender's aware that this is being used for expenses. It's not going to be invested, and he knows he's banking on the borrower's good fortune to return. So that would be okay, because the purpose of the loan is understood, that the repayment is more doubtful than if a person is borrowing for a business purpose where you think that the business transaction is going to return, or if the guy has other assets that he'll be able to make it from. They bring down the Musas fund. There's a Mamon Chaverichem that says someone asked one of the Bali Musa, is he allowed to borrow money on the ability that he has a Muna that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him out and is going to be able to pay it when the time is due, that he knows the Rebbein Shalom is going to help him. He has a Muna. So there the Musa person answered that, well, if you have enough emunah that you're going to lend somebody else on that, then you know, maybe we could talk business. But really, al pi halacha, that's just a musa story they bring. But al pi halacha, except for maybe a small amount to borrow for Shabbos or something like that, you're not allowed to rely on your own emunah to think that you're going to be able to pay something back. You would have to let the borrower, the lender, know the purpose of the loan, and therefore he'll conclude easily that repayment is an issue if we're talking about a money, you know, amount of significance, not that amount that everyone, you know, has today. Okay, so when we talked about bankruptcy, so piatayra bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, doesn't just because the courts cancel out debts, etc. If you borrow from another yid, that the court bankruptcy doesn't affect anything to Allah, according to Halacha. The money is still owed. It doesn't change anything. Where the bankruptcy does come into play, as was said by the Minchas Yitzchak, is when you're dealing with a corporate bankruptcy. Meaning, if you lend to a corporation, so by the fact that you don't have personal liability on the corporation, whether it's an LLC, a corporation, anything that there's no personal liability, so that is based effectively saying that the assets of that corporation are what your collection efforts are limited to. That's the whole purpose why they set up the corporation, to limit personal liability. However, that, so therefore, if a person, very common, unfortunately all the time, is, let's say you sold $30,000 to Corporation X of Schaira, or you're an attorney and you did $15,000 of billable work to Corporation X, or you're an accountant and you've been doing their books and they owe you $15,000for work that was already performed, and the corporation goes bankrupt and everyone gets 10 cents on the dollar, and you're livid because you really need that money and you couldn't afford to lose that money. You put in work, you put in time, whatever it is, and now the owner of the corporation, so let's say, you know, 100% owned by one individual, and that yid, this corporation went under, or this building went under, whatever it is, but you know, he's got three other businesses, and Baruch Hashem, he's making a very nice income. He went to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, for Sukkot, and everything's going great. He just made a real nice big chasana. And so you're starving, the accountant or the person who sold the schara, you're starving away. You can't afford that hit that was that you took. And this guy is living it up, you feel, on your cheshbon. So the answer is that if everything was done fair and square, meaning the corporation really, the Corporation X really was losing money and things were going bad, and you know, that's the way it happens, and it went bankrupt. So the answer is, well, when you made the deal, did you take a personal guarantee? No, you didn't. You billed according to the corporation. So therefore, if the corporation couldn't survive, you're out. Your specific deal was you limited your collection to the assets of the corporation. So the answer is, you know, the other guy is doing great, and you're starving, and you did the work, and you did everything. The answer is that no. Unless you got a personal guarantee, you limited your collection efforts, and therefore, the guy has no chiyuv to pay you. You have no rights. And you could always ask as a taiva, you can end by them saying, but you have no halacha right or demand against that money. However, what happens sometimes is, let's say the guy has the corporation and things are going downhill, and he says, wait, you know what, I want to have a little kitty for me at the end of the day. So what he does is he quickly buys a lot of schayra and buys $100,000 of schayra, sells it for $80,000, and he takes the cash out of the corporation and puts it to his own personal account. Or the corporation's about to, you know, he knows he's going to have to file for bankruptcy in a few months. He does some pre-bankruptcy planning and manages to get a lot of the assets and through some loopholes transfer him out of that corporation. And now, when the whole thing collapses, there's really nothing left at the end of the day. So then, that wasn't your agreement. Your agreement when you sold the guy to limit the assets of corporation, that's if everything is being done in a normal fashion. But if you're specifically trying to hide the assets and do other ways to take the assets out of the company's domain, that wasn't part of the deal, and then there would be some claim against the guy for those assets that he tried to shield from the bankruptcy. So the question that was asked is, we all know it says Lo Yisi Lo Kenosha. You have a borrower that doesn't pay you, right? So then you're not allowed to even appear before him because you're just embarrassing him. He doesn't have the money, and by you walking past his house or walking past his seat in front of him in shul, he's going to feel embarrassed. What do you want from the guy? If he has money to pay, he's chayav to pay. If he doesn't have money to pay, so what are you accomplishing? By making him embarrassed, you're not creating more money. You're just embarrassing him. So the reason why I didn't really bring it down too much is because it's really not nageya so much lemaisa. Why? Let's turn to page 9 in the Ma'amar Kaimis. And to get an idea, okay, a person can't pay. Well, what does that mean? That means he's not eating any bread? Or does that mean, and he doesn't have any money left? Or does that mean he's paying for certain things, but you're just less on the priority level than where you think you should be, and he thinks, you know, you belong, you know, much lower than that. So, apid halacha, how much do you have to shvitz to pay back? Api ikah halacha. Now this is the ikah halacha. As Baruch Hashem, most people are meichel on it, but let's at least get an understanding. Api halacha, what's the requirement of a person? Unless the minhag is people are meichel on it, but how far does it go? So it's not like the credit card companies today, where you know you can't pay, so you know they just schlep along to try to work with you, whatever. It's a little more serious in the way the Torah set it up. So let's go Sif Aleph here. Lo yelashum ta'ina keneged ashtar. Okay, you borrowed money, you don't have any claims that you know you didn't borrow the money. You owe the money, but you just don't have. Alashama she'ein lo b'mal lefroya. I don't have the money. I'm sorry. You know, I'd like to pay you. I owe you the money, but I don't have. So in my name, Siloy v'klum. Yes, amashim esadrin lo. If we don't have, if there's nothing left from the borrower, it doesn't have any other assets other than what we're misadaloi. There's something called a din sidr. It has nothing to do with davening, even though these guys need to daven big. But it has to do with what we set up the guy. Meaning, what's the minimum amount that we allow you to have? Meaning, what will we take away? And we'll take away everything, but we have to leave you with a certain amount. What do we have to leave you with? That's din sidr. What you have to be misadim. What do you have to leave him with? That we're going to see on the next page. But let's say he has nothing left than din sidr. So we already gave him the minimum, and we'll see what that is next page, but we gave him the minimum. So now what happens? Siskina ha-ga'inim, so al-pitakonis ha-ga'inim, shmashbinas ha-loiva, they would swear the borrower, ke'en shal tayr, like a shvu of tayr, ben kitas chayfetz, holding on to an object when he swears, like a sefer tayr. He has to swear, I don't have any other assets more than what you allowed me to have. I didn't hide them in other people's possession, another means domain. I didn't do any shtick, and other stuff. And he has to include in this shvuah any money that he makes, any other funds that happen to come into his hand, to his possessions, however it comes, he cannot feed, he can't feed his wife. The lender has priority above the wife, even though the wife, he says in the ksuvi, is going to pay. The lender has a higher priority than that. V'loy levanov, can't give to his children. V'loy yalbishayisam, he can't clothe them. V'loy yitapobahem, he can't do things for them. V'loy yitei matana la'adam v'alam, he can't give a gift to anyone in the world. To put down, obviously, if a person's a bal chayv and he owes Yiddish people money, he can't start giving out tzedakah's money. I mean, that's, you know, he feels, well, I need to get tzedakah, I need really rachmi shemayim, I want to get some zchuyas because, you know, I need help. You can't give the tzedakah's when you owe other Yidden money, that you'll get more tzvula by paying back your loans prius b'chol mitzvah than by giving tzedakahs. Ala yaitzi mikol shetasig yadai mazon lam and yom tzitzis beis chaydish. Anything above 30 days worth of food and clothing for 12 months, mazon roiloi tzitzis roiloi, food that's appropriate to him and clothing that's appropriate to him. Lo yachilas hazaylam esavim, can't, when we leave him 30 days worth of food, doesn't mean, you know, fancy steaks every night. It's or b'nei melachim, or like kings eat. Lo mabushi apachis v'askayim, and when we give him clothes, doesn't mean that we have to give him, you know, whatever the shmatas are. Ela kedarka, like he, you know, like he normally wears. V'lcha yes al tzachay, anything that's more than that, yitin le balchayv, he has to give to the balei chayv, mishin, in priority, ad shi'gvenu kol chayv, until they're all paid up. Lo nishva l'haba, let's say when they made the shvuah, they made a mistake. They only made a shvuah to him that he didn't hide any assets, but they didn't make a shvuah that anything that comes in afterwards has to go. They're allowed to make him swear every 30 days he has nothing more than the minimum amount. And they put a chayim on the whole tzibur if anyone knows that this guy has any other assets, whether they're hidden or revealed. Doesn't let the base know. So that would be that's what they would do. So turn the page and we'll describe exactly how much we allow him to have. Misadin lebal chayiv ketzad. Okay, so what's the din siddur? And the Aruch HaShulchan, the Shulchan HaCharav, the Ksais also brings it down, that this is al pi ikar din, the way a person, not the basin takes them, what they don't do to him, not only that, but what al pi ikar din, a person on his own is chayiv to do. Now again, people are meichel, they should be meichel, to make a guy go to such a hardship, but just to understand exactly al pi ikar din, how strong of an obligation it is and what the priorities are. So Masadun about Khaib Kate said, I'm in the Laiva, have you come a talk and say, okay, bring in all your assets that you have, all your tangible assets that could be moved. The Laitanyah Afil Machanachas, don't even hide one pin. You gotta bring it all to base then. Afil Kalei Archal Nefesh, even your cups and your forks and your spoons. But nice and low, I call Muslim Lama Jain. We give him, we allow him to keep, again, food that's for 30 days worth, kibbeinani should be here, like a regular person, even though he used to eat really meager, we'll allow him to have 30 days worth of food as an average person eats. Clothing that needs for 12 months, we don't give him silk clothes and golden hats. We take those away from him if that's what he wears. We give him appropriate clothing for 12 months. He gets a bed. Mito matza gets a mattress also. I mean, we're nice guys, right? He gets that too. He even gets a pillow. Haruim leishan alem, that they could sleep on it. Vimhaya ani mato mapetz leishan alav. Also, he gets his standard bedding. Very nice and klum beilu loy liishto Ivanov. His wife and his children doesn't get any afa bishem katanim, even though they're young kids. Shulchayv is the same. He's chayv to support them. They don't get it. The nice and sandaloy tfilov. And we also give him his shoes, and he gets his tefillin. Hayu'umen, if he was a craftsman, noisin lo shnei klei umnas, mikol min umen, we give him two tools for each type of tool that he uses. Kagan shayachayish, harash, if he was a carpenter, noisin lo shnei matzadim, we give him two planes, ushnei megeris, and two saws. Hayu'lo min echad merubah, min echad mu'ad, if let's say he has five saws and one plane. So noisim lo shnayim in aruba, we give him two of the swords, v'chol sheisha me'amuat, and he only gets one plane. We don't buy another plane from it, he gets two. He gets whatever he has, if there's only one. V'ein loichem lo kelim midamei amaruba, like we just said. Hayayik or a hammer, if he's a farmer or he's a donkey driver. Ein noisim lo loit smadai v'lo chamari, we don't give him the donkeys or the ox, the plows, we don't give him that. Bechenim hayasapin, or if he was a salesman, a ship sailor. Einosin leisvinas, you don't give him the boat. Ah, he needs that. That's his kli to make panasa. No, avbishen lamzaynos me'elu el me'elu. Even though that's his only way that he makes panasa from. Einelu kelim, these aren't considered utensils. El nechasim, those are considered assets. It's not something. It has something of more value. It's not just a utensil. Yimku imshar metaplin bebeistin. Beistin would sell that. Vinasin lebal chayvin. Everything else they would liquidate and would go to the lender.
What they talking about the base chalimut?
Yeah, you know that chalimut is for your child. You go first. The first comes the borrower.
I think Shiva says you can't send your kid anymore.
That's the guys again. This is my ikar din. But ma'isa where people should be Michael. Because, you know, what goes around comes around. You don't want to get so tough on someone, but I just wanted to show. But yeah, appear then, who has priority to those monies? If the kid kicks out of yeshiva, that's the balance problem.
Tuition finds a loan. You owe it, at the beginning of the year, you owe it full tuition. So
who's the bachar? The father or the child is what your question is on the tuition side.
No.
Well, okay, so when you have multiple lenders, and so then there's different halachas as to who has priority, or if it's pari passu, the different ways to divide up exactly the assets that whatever the liquidation value is. Does it get divided evenly amongst the lenders? Does it go in a prioritization of who lent first? The different halachas, and that's when the different lenders would try to go to Beis Din and try to make claims on where the priority stands on the distribution of whatever assets, whatever cash can come out of the system.
His family has to get from stuck, or in other words.
Yeah, his family has to knock on the doors. Yeah. But I feel him with Talmud Chacham, even if he's a Talmud Chacham, and Tayyar is his main thing, we don't let him keep his svarim. That's something that we sell. That's his utensils. That liquidates also. But I feel safe at Tayyar, even if he has a safe at Tayyar, That also, we sell it out and pay the lender. If you paid for a seat in shul, certainly his wife doesn't get any food from going forward. Even if she grabbed, she's hungry, right? So she grabbed a loaf of bread from her husband's closet. Let's say the husband went away. He's on, he's out of town because he's having a little too much heat in town, right? And now she, took some of the schayer that was in the house or whatever it is. She teased him, and she wanted to sell him to have food. Might see me other. Based on would say, I'm sorry, you're lower on the priority. You can't take that stuff to eat. The nice and the mal, when we give it to the lender. Shein leishim zaynis lemekaki lematatli atchifa malva. I feel like sakidemis. Even if the wife got married before the loan was given, so you would think she has priority, right? Because she was the first person on. No, the priority, the wife in the ksuva, it's only if he has money to give. But if he has no money to give, and other people have my priority, so then it's out. Let's go just to the very bottom of the Ramah. We're going to skip the second line of the Ramah, the last two words. Hayachayev mardei kachavim. If you're chayev to the guy, the borrower was chayev also to goyim. V'tavu b'dinei akum, and the goyim took him to secular court. Ubasa isha in ksuvasa. Now the isha, his wife, goes to court also and makes a claim with her ksuva that she also is chayev to get paid. So now when they're going to make the settlement in the secular court amongst the goyim, she has a claim in there for a part also. And according to the din, let's say in the secular court, was that she gets a chalik, right? So in Yiddish court, she wouldn't have gotten anything. But now, it went to secular court because the borrowers, they had Goyish lenders also involved. And the courts gave her a portion. And now, the dust settles. And now the Yiddish lender comes and says, the court gave you whatever these $5,000 that comes to me, right? Right, miyada isha masha gavsa b'dinei akum. You want to take out of the lady what she was zayicha to in the court system. Hadinim amalva. The din is with the borrower lender. Dareisha ksuva nunyasa loy nasma legavas mechayim. Because according to halacha, the ksuva, that's only if the husband dies. So even though I'll pee, the secular courts in that system, they gave it, it wouldn't count. So to answer your question, I think sometimes a mace is better off, but yeah. So the answer to your question is, it says in Kesef Talves, Ami is a mitzvah, fine, but we said, you're not allowed to even appear to the guy, let alone press him for the money. So the answer is, if he's living, as we saw in Shulchan Aruch, like he's chayiv too, right? So, meaning, he's not giving his kids food, he's not giving his wife food, he doesn't have a car, he only has left assets that are worth, he's still living in his house, right? He only has assets that are worth 30 days of food, 12 months of clothing for himself, a bed, a mattress, a tefillin, maybe a few sores, whatever it is. So then, you're right, you can't press him. But if you see the guy, his kids are eating, everything's running fine, but it's on your cheshbon, so you don't have to feel bad you don't have to feel bad on squeezing him and bothering him when you're higher up on the priority system than other people that are getting paid. Other people are getting money, so he just feels they're higher on the priority system, and you have the right to go and demand that you're higher up on the priority system. Email the shia to him if you want. So usually it's very rare. There are certain situations, it is possible, but it's a very rare thing that you'd have a Laisila Kanesha issue. Okay.
They don't take his house. His house is not.
Yeah, his house goes.
It says that
the metaphon he brings, the house he can't bring. No, the house gets liquidated also.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, Lamaisa, again, it all depends on what's going on. For example, I mean, usually the guy's house is mortgaged up anyway, so I don't know how much equity you're going to have at the end. But yeah, let's say the situation is the guy has a house, the guy owes you $200,000, right? He has a house, it's worth $500,000, he has a $100,000 mortgage on it, right? There's plenty of equity. So that's it. You got to sell it, or you got to take a loan against it to pay up the other guy. I can't afford to pay the mortgage. Well, that's not your problem, that's his problem. So sell the house and you won't have a mortgage, you know? I mean, that's... right, again, not that we have to jump down people's throats immediately and be, you know, and have make them sell the nechassim at fire sale prices. Well, there's a, you know, we try to, things should be worked out in a way that, you know, the damage is minimized for everybody. But if it's a situation of a person not getting paid at all, and the other person, and the person who borrowed has assets, so, I mean, that's, the loan was against the assets. Again, except we're talking about if there's a corporation thing, that's different. Okay, another halacha is, it's what on Shulchan Aruch, that even though a loan was made and a long time lapsed since the loan was made, we don't say that there was an automatic mechila only because the lender didn't demand his money back. A common example is Reuven did some services for Shimon, whatever, he was a plumber, he fixed something in the house, so he's an accountant or an attorney, whatever it is, and he billed for something, he's a doctor, he performed the service, and now it's 3 years later, and the person who billed realizes, the secretary didn't put this day's bill into the computer, so the customer was never billed for the services from 3 years ago. So now they put it into the computer, and the billing system sends out, 3 years ago you came for an office visit and you owe $80 or whatever it is. So the person's going to say, what do you mean? That was 3 years ago. You didn't come to me. Obviously, you were Michael. The answer is no. We don't assume there was a mechila just because there was a lapse between the time of the loan and when it happened. Now, it's a question. Why didn't you come? You know, if it went to base, then they say, well, you know, why'd you wait 3 years? But if there was a good explanation where, like, say, for example, you know, the billing, the biller, you know, there was, you switched over billers or whatever, and the stuff never got... you put into the computer, and that's why everyone lost track of it. So then, that's something that uh, is uh, you know, you still have the money. Okay, Metz Hashem, next week we're going to talk about Shadchanim and brokers. It's going to be Lamech saying Havas is more straight stuff. You get some more Shakla V'taya Bez Hashem next week. Also, just one thing I forgot to mention is, as we saw in the Minchas Yitzchak, there was a Machlekes at the end, whether he did guarantee personally, he didn't guarantee personally. Whenever you do on these things, we all believe everybody's honest, but everyone's a lot more honest when it's in writing, so you should always document everything in writing. Al Pi Halacha, if you make a loan, you chayev, especially a significant loan, you chayev to document in writing, so there shouldn't be any problems. Mitz Hashem will all be zeicher to get our money back. Shkoyach.